Hey, welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast. This is Pastor Derry, and I welcome you to this week's edition. This week, we covered Abundant Life Part 5 from our series called I Have Been Given. And we talked about today the hindrance that the church has in receiving abundant life is the carnal mind. It was what we were talking about the last couple of weeks. And one of the challenges with the carnal mind is that it fights against the law of God. So in today's message, we get a little bit further into understanding not only how to combat the carnal mind, but the blessing of walking in the Spirit. So we'll see you at the close of the broadcast.
Bible to Matthew 21, and I'm going to read you a couple of things as you're turning there. So the key thought for today is, as we've been talking about, I have been given abundant life. And one of the key things that we want to think about here is that the abundant life has a definition that we're going to talk about. But the most significant thing here is that we've been talking about the fact that there are lenses that we wear, that there are two lenses. And if we look at our graphic here, you see the little tree down in the corner. That tree represents the two lenses that you wear. One lens is based on the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. In other words, it's the law of salvation. It's the law that when we said yes to God, God made us alive in Him. And being alive in Him, when we put on the lenses of that life, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it makes us see fruitfulness. It makes us see the world in a certain way. And then the other set of lenses is the law of sin and death, which was activated in Adam and Eve's life when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit and their eyes were opened to know good and evil. When their eyes were opened to know good and evil, they became victims of law. Victims of law. In other words, they knew good from evil, so there was automatically a law created. That is, do right or do wrong. And when you know right and you do wrong, you have violated your own understanding, which means that you start to live in condemnation and death. So understanding that there's these two lenses, that when you live in condemnation, you see everything condemned. Even when you see good stuff, you see it condemned. You become critical because your criticism is from your lenses, because you're judging, because you've been exposed to the knowledge of good and evil. And with the knowledge of good and evil, as a judge, your problem is, and what makes it sinful, is that you don't have the right vantage point to judge correctly. I heard a man say that one of the things that you cannot see is yourself. Selah. You can't be a righteous judge because you can't even see yourself. Because see, for me, I see everybody else. I can't see my gray beard. I can't see my ears. I can't see my back. There's a whole bunch of things about me I cannot even see. I can't look down or look around or find them. I can't see them. I can't see my forehead. I can't see my chin. I can't even see my own eyes. But guess what? It's spiritual as well. The things about you yourself that you cannot spiritually see. You cannot see or discern certain things. And because you can't judge properly. So the very first thing we had to understand is that there's two lenses that we're looking out of. One is the lens that sees through God's eyes. One is the lens that sees through your eyes. And your eyes are going to see incorrectly. With my eyes, I see my wife. And I see everything beautiful about my wife. And I see my wife and I say, my wife is great. Then I also see when my wife does things I don't care for. Not because she's wrong, but because I don't care. So does that make her wrong? No, it means I have something I'm seeing. I see people at work, and they're doing certain things a certain work, certain way. And what are the first thing I think? They should do it this way. Why? Because that's how I see it. Does that mean it's right? No. It just means that's how I see. So what we understand about humanity is humanity, with the knowledge of good and evil, will attempt to change good and evil to fit our eyes. So when I used to work and do prison reentry, so I would meet with people as they're getting ready to be released from prison. We would sit down and talk. And a friend of mine used to say, in prison, everybody's innocent. Because in the prison and outside of prison, because it doesn't make a difference whether you're in or out, we always can justify our own actions. We can always find a justification for our own actions. Why did you steal that? Because I didn't have anything. Well, that belonged to them. It doesn't make a difference. I didn't have anything. So I felt justified taking what they had. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? There's always a justification because of the lenses we're wearing. And the lenses of sin make sense to us because we've been looking through them for so long. And there's sinful behaviors and sinful activities that we do that we say it's okay because the lenses that we have say they're okay. But there is another lens. There is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that when I put them on, I see, oh my God, what have I been doing all this time? And all of a sudden you start to get revelation, because revelation is the ability to see what you have not been able to see before. And with a new set of lenses, you get revelation concerning, number one, who you are. Hallelujah. Number two, who God is. And number three, how God wants you to see the world. But revelation is progressive, because what I saw 30 years ago when I said yes to God, I see very different now. Yes. Even though I had a new set of lenses on, I see it so different. So we looked at the book of John, chapter 10, that said, Jesus said to his disciples, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen? Jesus came to give us life. The thief doesn't come except to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life. So we know Jesus wants to give us life. Amen? Tell your neighbor, say, Jesus wants to give me life. Now, if you're already alive, how's he going to give you life? See, the life he's talking about is the life of God. The life of God that Adam and Eve lost when their eyes were open. Because when their eyes were open, they had a set of lenses, which was the law, the sin, and death that was put on them. We're going to turn really quickly. I'm going to walk you through a couple of things. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. You don't have to turn there. Keep your finger in Matthew what? There we go. Y'all paying attention. Matthew 21. We're going to put up on the screen Romans chapter 8, verse 2. And it says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm free. Oh, it's so good to be free. It is so good to be free. Listen, I paid Maya's last tuition check when she was graduating from college. I paid that check and I said, I'm free. I did my own little dance because I paid that last thing. I had that obligation is gone. I am free. Can all the parents say yes? We know what free is. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me
free.
Made you free. The law of your life that is in Christ should make you feel free. If it's not making you feel free, it's because the thief is trying to steal your freedom. If you don't feel free and you're in Christ, it's because the thief is still hanging around trying to take your freedom. He's trying to keep you blinded. He's trying to keep you from seeing. Romans 8 and 7. We're going to bring that up. We already looked at this before. Romans 8 and 7. How does he keep you bound? Through your carnal mind. Because the carnal mind is what? Enmity. Against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So that law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you cannot access it as long as that carnal mind is trying to dominate you, because it is enmity against God. What is enmity? It means to be hostile towards. Your carnal mind will be hostile toward the things of God because it doesn't want to be subject to it. And matter of fact, it can't be subject. As long as we're living in the carnal mind, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus keeps bringing condemnation into your life. We looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It said we have to cast down imaginations and everything that tries to exalt itself. Where? Above the knowledge of God. That's that same spirit. That's that same flesh. It's that same carnal mind that keeps trying to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. That knowledge of good and evil that makes us judge one another, that makes us look at things through a certain set of lenses. All of that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God and rob you of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's what we have to understand. We have to understand. Deanna said it. We can't be in or out. Because when you go in or out, what happens is the out dominates. I used to go out as a child. And I used to play. And I used to play hard. Man, I'm running from sun up to sun down. And I ran in the house to get a sandwich and run back out. You know, a bologna sandwich, you know? You know, you get up in the morning, you make cream of wheat, right? With a whole bunch of sugar to keep yourself juiced up all morning, right? And then I run out all summer long, all summer. You running around playing, you running around. We riding bikes and we doing stuff. We'd only run to the house in order to get something to run back out and play with it, right? All day long, like I said, lunchtime. Oh, my stomach's ground. Woo, run in, over, get that little bologna, throw it in there. Psst, I wish Tracy was here. We can fry my little bologna sandwich. Let that bubble come up. Pop him. Back outside. Run around till the street lights start flickering. Oh, gotta go. All day long, I would play hard all day. And when I would come in, outside would follow me in. My mother would say, "Oh, you stink." Everything I ran around, all that was on me all day long. I run in the house and my, "Oh, where have you been?" Because as soon as I come in, what was outside came inside with me. And my mother wanted to pull, "Sure, no, you right now." And listen, how many of y'all ever had little boys? How many of y'all had little boys? Okay. Here's a little boy trick. If you don't have little boys and you plan to have a little boy, here's a little boy trick. I'm going to let you in on it. He goes in the bathroom. He turns on the water. He gets a book and he sits down. And then he turns the water off. Or maybe he wets a towel. He's going to wet the towel because, you know, if he don't wet the towel, he's going to get found out, right? He's going to wet the towel and he's going to hang the towel up and he's going to walk back out and smell exactly like he did. Thinking nobody knows. All the parents of little boys say,
"Amen."
Mm-hmm, yeah. That's the law of death. The law of death gets on us, and we're on it, and we're running around in it, and then we come into church, and sometimes we maybe resist getting cleaned up. We're resisting God cleaning us up. And sometimes we go turn the water on and sit down. And then we come out not realizing God can still smell it. Not realizing God still smells it. He still smells it. It's still, you're not fooling anybody. God's like, "Come on, baby. The shower's right here. Come on. Come on, Jesus shed this blood to wash you, to cleanse you. You don't have to stay there. Come on, baby, you don't have to. I know you was outside playing, but come on. You can clean up." See, God wants us clean because when you're clean, there's benefits. There's benefits to being clean. But you can't fake clean. Clean can't be faked. When I got older, still got that little boy inside. You know, in high school, you have gym class, and you're supposed to go in and take a shower. But you know what? What they do? Well, the little boy start passing a little can of Old Spice around. Now they use an axe, right? And all it is, you smell axe and funk together. Together, dwelling together in unity. No, not unity. Those lenses will make us the lens of law, spirit of death, of the law of sin and death, will make us believe that we have the right lenses on. And we'll walk around with those lenses when God's trying to get us to change the lens. I came that you might have life. You don't have to dwell in death. You don't need to dwell in death. You can come out of death. I want to put new lenses on you so you can see. Amen? Romans 7, the carnal mind. The carnal mind represents that. God made humanity spirit, soul, and body. His intent was our spirit to lead us and drive us. But instead, our physical body got in the way because we started to see with our eyes good from evil. And we couldn't judge properly because we're not in a holy natural world. We're in a natural and spiritual world. And we don't understand that. But we keep judging everything by the flesh. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the disciples said this about Jesus. They said, when Jesus was here, we followed him in the flesh. We knew him in the flesh. But now we don't know him like that anymore. We don't know Jesus in the flesh anymore. And then they said this, from now on, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And these things are of God. In other words, if any man gets in Christ, he becomes new. You look the same because you still have the flesh, but you're new because you have a spirit that's alive to God. Amen? Alive to God. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm alive to God. And I shower regularly. Tell them, I shower regularly. Come on. Ain't no little boys in here. The law of the spirit of life is the tree of life. The law of sin and death is the knowledge of good and evil that brings death. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is led by the principles of the word and not the world. So the word of God is what gives us instruction on the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, real quick, we're going to look at Hebrews. Still got your finger in Matthew, right? Yeah. All right. We're going to look at Hebrews 5 and 12. We talked about this last week. Remember, principles. Principles. It's all about principles. When you come into kingdom life, when you come and put these new lenses on, God doesn't give you a bunch of laws. Jesus said, this is the only law I'm giving you, love. This is all. This is it. By love hang all the prophets and all of everything else. The law and the prophets all hanging on the law of love. So now, instead of a bunch of laws, we're giving principles of understanding. If you understand the principles, then you know how to not live by law, but how to actually just move with God. See, there's principles I used to walk around. I didn't have to consciously learn the principles, but I did experientially learn the principles. The first is the law of balance, that my body needs to be balanced in order for me to walk. That's why when my right foot goes forward, my left hand goes forward, because it's balance. It's keeping my body. So if you tried to walk with your right and your right, you would always go to one side. So your body's designed to work with opposites, to keep balance. That's a fundamental law. Balance is a law, human law. When did you learn that? You learned it when you first started learning how to stand up, when your head was the biggest part of your body. Somebody say, yeah, it was. So you had to learn how to balance. Oh, got to keep this head somewhere so I don't fall over. Balance. It's a fundamental thing. So when we're children, we learn laws. We learn principles. Now, those principles are going to work no matter what. When you get older, what are you trying to learn to ride a bike? I'm going to use that law of balance again. You keep using the same principles over and over again as you live your life. Why? Because that's how principles work. They work in one environment and they follow you in other places. So this says that even though, and we're reading the Amplified version, I was searching for it last time and I couldn't find it. Now we got it. For even though by this time you ought to be teaching others, you actually need someone else, someone to teach you over again the very first principles of God's word. Not that there's principles in the word, and if we can get the principles of the word, it will make us not only prepared, it will be prepared to impart to other people. We'll be ready to impart to others when we have got those principles down in us. You've come to need milk and not solid food. Okay? Now let's look at Matthew. Let's uncover some principle here. Tell your neighbor, say, there's a principle called blessing. One more time, blessing.
Blessing.
Not blessings, but blessing. Principle of blessing. Matthew 21, and we're going to begin at verse 18. And this is Jesus having just been in the temple, turning over the tables in the temple, caught the Pharisees totally off guard, then began healing people. So they couldn't criticize him for turning over the tables because then they saw the power of God manifest. So then he comes out and he's going back to another city where he was staying. And this is the next morning. Verse 18 says, now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. Tell your neighbor, Jesus gets hungry. Verse 19, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. And immediately the fig tree withered away. Now when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. And all things, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Okay. This is a hard one on the carnal mind. This one is a hard one on the carnal mind because the carnal mind says you cannot talk to a tree and make it respond. Your carnal mind immediately goes there. Then what your carnal mind says, if you could speak to a tree and you can make it wither, it wouldn't do it immediately. And then your carnal mind says, wait a minute, you saying whatever I ask when I pray? Because I ask for a whole bunch of stuff, I ain't never got stuff. Is this true or not true, what the carnal mind will say? That's what the carnal mind's going to say. The carnal mind's going to fight against God. So we just looked at Romans chapter 8, and it said that carnal mind is going to fight against God. It's not going to be subject to the law of God. Well, there's a principle of God working here that your carnal mind is going to fight against. And guess what? I'm trying to snatch that tree out of your head. I'm trying to grab that carnal tree and pull it out of your head so God can let your eyes be open. Paul said, I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding be flooded with light. I'm praying for you. I know about your faith. I know about your love. I know you're Christians already. I know that about everybody in here. Everybody I look around, I see most of them. I know all of y'all in the room. And I don't doubt anybody's faith in this room. But what I do know is that you got a tree in you that I want to get rid of. You got a tree on the inside of you because I got a tree on the inside of me. And I'm trying to get that tree uprooted and plucked out and thrown away. Burned up with fire because it don't need to be there. Because God wants to clean us up. and move us to another place. To access the benefit of being clean. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Let's pull this apart because I want you to understand something, because I'm going to give you something that you're going to have to understand this to get. Amen? Look at verse 22. Whatever things you ask in prayer, a comma in the English language means a pause. So there's a comma before and after believing. In other words, you need to pause and think about believing, and then you need to pause before you go on to something else. Believing, you will receive. Tell your neighbor, You will receive what you believe. Turn to your other neighbor and say, You will believe what you see. You're designed to believe what you see. And that's why advertisers spend billions of dollars, because they already understand the human being is designed to believe whatever it sees. And that's why we pay so much money for stuff. Why? Because we believe what we see. So if we see something, we will believe it. Super Bowl comes. Companies are spending gobs of money sending some stupid commercial. You don't even know what the commercial is about. Half the commercials during the Super Bowl, I still don't understand what they are. I watched it that time, then I brought it up on YouTube trying to figure out, what? I don't get it. Why do they pay all that money for that? It's not to get you then. It's to get you back. Because if I can show it to you enough times, you will believe. I walk in a store, and I want something to drink. When I walk to the refrigerator, and I see that, you know, what am I going to pick? I might pick what I know I like. Or I might just keep looking around, and then I pick what I'm most familiar with. How did I get familiar? Because I've been advertised to. I've had something put in my face so many times that I feel comfortable making that decision. Well, shoot, if it's on TV, it's okay. Somebody said, man, you need to drink this kombucha. I said, I ain't seen what kombucha. I haven't seen kombucha nowhere. I'm not trusting that. You believe what you see. You will see according to the lens you are wearing. The lens you are wearing will determine what you see. So two people look at the same situation. And I'll use a biblical example. God takes the children of Israel and says, I'm taking you out of Egypt and I'm bringing you to a land that flows with milk and honey. This is the place I'm going to give to you. Moses is your deliverer. He's going to take you there. And so they march out of the promised land. They see God drown Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea behind them. They keep on marching out. They are so excited. They get out there and they're all ready to go to the promised land. And then God says, now, before you go into the land, I want you to pick out spies to go over there and look. And I want you to pick your smartest, your best, and your brightest to represent you and go out, one from each tribe, and go and check it out and see if this land isn't just what I said it was. So they did. They picked out the best and the brightest from all 12 tribes, and they took them and they sent them out, and they went to look around in the land. And when they came back, they were carrying produce from the land. They were carrying all this great stuff from the land. And when they came back, Moses said, now you guys, tell the people what you saw. And they said, the land is just what God said it was. They said, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. It is great, except for one thing. There's giants over there. God didn't tell us about no giants. God told us about this land with milk and honey, but he didn't say nothing about these giants. And we went over those giants. We went over and saw them giants. Those giants, we looked like grasshoppers in their sight. wait a minute, you can't see yourself. So how do you know these giants viewed you as grasshoppers? Their lenses. Their lenses from slavery. They came out from being slaves, and so their slave lenses actually made them look out and see other people as giants and see themselves as small. Why? Because the law of death was working. The law of death, the things that come into your head and they talk to you and they start drawing pictures from you based on the lenses that you're wearing. You believe what you see, but you see through your lenses. If your lenses say certain things about you, your lenses say everybody else is great, but you know what? I'm not that great. If your lenses say to you, you know what? Everybody else is beautiful, but you know what? I'm really kind of funny looking. If your lenses say anything about you, if your lenses have sin on them, if your lenses have that sin, they speak condemnation to you. So everybody can say, oh, what a great job. And you say, oh, it wasn't great. If you only knew who I really was, you wouldn't be complimenting me right now. If you knew where I come from, you wouldn't be saying what you're saying. And even when people give you compliments or tell you what a blessing you are or tell you how great what you did was, you can't accept it because your lenses are blocking anything that says something other than the law of death. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive them. So sometimes we're praying, we're asking God for a blessing. But what we believe is we live under a curse. And because we believe we live under a curse, we get what we believe. That's why I don't let you guys say stuff like, I can't sing. That's why I don't let you guys say stuff like, I just want to be in the back. That's why I don't let you guys talk like that, because you are saying stuff that is old lenses that I'm trying to snatch out of you. I'm trying to pull the old tree out. That's my assignment as your shepherd, is to yank the old tree out, to pull it out. And when you are looking through the wrong lenses, it's for me to tell you it's the wrong lens. And my problem is I'm sometimes too nice and don't tell you when I see you looking through the wrong lenses. That's my problem. Because unfortunately, I got my own goofy lenses. And I got to keep getting my lenses cleaned. Because I keep looking at things sometimes the wrong way. Because I'm just like all the rest of us. Somebody's about to pull a lens off of me, and I'm pulling lenses off of you. And together, we're going to get all these lenses out of here, and we're going to walk into high places with God. We're going to walk to another levels because we're going to get this stuff out of us, because we're going to operate in the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We're not going to be little boys with the water running while mom is knowing outside that boy is not in the shower. The lens of the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is God's revelation for us. So we're either looking through that or we're looking through the law, the lens of sin and death, which is your natural and carnal mind. We're only looking at, there's only two lenses to look through, one or the other. So we understand that the enemy's trying to get you to continually look through the wrong lens. Jesus said, I've come that they may have life. I came to give you new lenses to look through. I came to give you new lenses. That's what I came for. I came to change your lenses, to take the sin and death out of your environment, to now give you the lens of life that you can see God and you can operate in God. And when you change these lenses, it won't just change your eyes. It changes your spirit. It changes your spirit. And it puts your spirit man back where it's supposed to be, in dominion. The breath of life that God blew into Adam, now put back in charge where it's supposed to be, as opposed to my flesh and my emotions telling me how to live. I used to be mad at my mother because my mother and father got a divorce. My mother and father's divorce was finalized when I was on my first birthday. So I used to be mad at my mother because my father lived somewhere else. And so my image of my father was this grand, spotless, marvelous, absolutely perfect father who just wasn't here. Problem number one. You probably have that image because he's not here. But I had this glorified image of my father. My father could do no wrong, and I'd be mad at my mother because she's the one that's got to correct me. She's got to want to tell me what to do. She's got to want to do this, and my father's perfect. And unchecked anger becomes bitterness. So some of my emotion regarding my mother is because of my own bitterness that I carried for a long time. And I missed a lot of opportunity with my mother because of my own bitterness. Not because she did anything wrong, but because I had a problem. I had bad lenses on. And with the bad lenses, I'm judging a loving woman who's doing everything she can to take care of my little raggedy behind. But I'm judging her because why? Because of my lenses. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Amen. Our lenses will have us in bad positions. But Jesus came to give you life. Tell your neighbor, say, Jesus came to give me life. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 12. Now, we're going to make a shift here. I got to come at you full blast because I don't have a lot of time. So you may have to listen to this over again because I'm going to come with it. Right? Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Whenever he says that going to a land, it's always a promise. Land represents a promise from God. So you got to get out of your father's house, go away from there to a land or a promise that I'm going to show you. Now, look what it says here. A land that I will... How do you show something? Somebody's got to see what you show. If you didn't see it, then it wasn't shown to you. When somebody says something you don't believe, you say, show it to me. Because you only believe what? What you see. So God says to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And then he gives him some expanded promises. Number one, I will make you a great nation. Not I'm going to make a great nation out of you. I'm going to make you a great nation. I will bless you. Tell your neighbor, say, woo, bless me. And make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, listen close. Listen very closely. You receive what you believe. You believe what you see. But you see based on your lenses. Right? God tells Abram, get out of your house to a place I'm going to show you. He promised Abraham. Go to chapter 13, verse 2. Chapter 13, verse 2. Just flip right over one page. Abram was very rich in livestock and silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. Go down to verse 14. Chapter 13, verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes. Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, north, south, eastward, westward, for all the land which I give to you and to your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could also be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and through its width, for I give it to you. Then Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. Now, what is really important here to understand, God showed him something. God said, I got to show you. Lift up your eyes. I need you to see it. I need you to see it because, Abram, you're not going to believe it unless you can see it. God told me to give somebody a word one day. So I walked to him and I told him what God said. And they said, I don't know. I can't see that. They judged the word I gave them based on whether they could see it or not. But God sent me to tell them something to start painting a picture. If you don't see it, you won't believe it. And that's why the devil's job is to make you not see. The devil's job is to make you blind, is to blind your eyes. Now the old saints, they said, I was blind, but now I see. What? I was blind, but I can't see anything. But now I see. Woo, what amazing grace. How sweet that sound that saved somebody like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind. But now I see. I see it. I see my salvation. I see what God is doing. I see it, man. Now that I see it, I know how amazing it is. Now I can walk in it. But God didn't just promise him that. Go to Galatians chapter 3. I need you to see something. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to see it. Y'all remember that song? I'm going to see it. You need to make that declaration. I'm going to see what the Lord has promised me. Galatians chapter 3. If you're still turning, look at the screen. I got to move quick. Galatians 3, 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Tell your neighbor, say, I was cursed, but I no longer am because of Jesus. Now, I need you to see that in yourself. I need you to see that no generational curse, nothing your family was in your heritage can follow you in Christ. I need you to understand that just because your parents did something doesn't mean you have to do it. Just because something's generationally in your bloodline does not mean you have to have it. It's anything that's a curse, you are free from it because of Jesus. I was doing a genealogy study, and you know what I found out? I found that no man on my father's side has ever remained married any period of time. I can't find one. I looked down the line. I can't find one. I can't find one. As a matter of fact, I start finding relatives that are in their mama's house, but there ain't no list of the daddy in there in the Census Bureau. So every 10 years, there's a census. And why is there all these ladies and little boys in the house, but ain't no men in the house? Why? Because it's a generational curse that was on my family line. But I've been married this month coming up 30 years. Why? Because I break the curse. I don't have to be bound by a curse that happened in my bloodline because Jesus set me free from the curse. Matter of fact, he became the curse for me. Christ has redeemed us. You were redeemed from the curse of the law. Everybody in my family is depressed. Break the curse. You don't know everybody in my family. Break it. Walk out of it. It's me and my, I said, we were in this thing, and I said, I went in the garage, I'm trying to pray, and I'm ready to do all this spiritual, I'm ready to do all spiritual warfare, and just as clear as day, the Holy Spirit said, walk out of it. I'm all ready to fight. I'm ready to fight the devil. I'm ready to fight the devil. I'm going to fight. I'm getting lost. All emotional in my carnal mind, ready to fight a devil that's not even physical. How am I going to win? I can't win. I'm just going to be mad, screaming in my garage. The Holy Spirit said, do something spiritual. Walk out of it. Just walk out. Just walk out of it. So I came back in. I said, tell me, the Lord told me to walk out of it. Why? Christ already redeemed me from the curse. The curse of the law has already been broken off of me. I don't care what the devil brings at me. A curse is broken. It's broken. He died for us. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That's why you need to make sure you believe that Jesus was crucified for you. Because in his crucifixion, he bore your curse. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Look at the next verse. Why would he break the curse? That the blessing of Abraham, of all people, Abraham? Yes, the blessing of Abraham might come upon. Tell your neighbor, say, come upon. That the blessing of Abraham might just come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Tell your neighbor, say that blessing of Abraham just came upon me. What did God tell Abraham? He said, I'm going to bless you, make your name great. I'm going to make you a blessing. When you get out of your father's house, when you get to the land where I'm going to show you, I'm going to show you something about yourself. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. In you, all of the nations of the world are going to be blessed. In you, all the world is going to be blessed. The world is going to be blessed because of you. But you can't believe it unless you can see it. And you're either going to see it in the word and receive it for yourself, or you're going to have to let God show it to you some kind of way, but you're going to have to believe it if you're going to receive it, because you only receive what you believe, and you only believe what you see, and you're going to see based on what kind of lenses you're wearing. And if you're still wearing your carnal rule lenses, you're going to say, well, that's good for everybody else, but that's not me. I can't do anything. Well, I work in a little place like this. Nobody knows who I am. Nobody knows who I am. When God called me, God said, I called you to ministry. I said, Lord, I'm going to tell you what. I said, I'm not never one time ever, 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 ever. It's really you. If it's really you, I'm never going to ask anybody to let me speak anywhere. And I never have. But praise the Lord, I've been able to preach in other countries. I've been able to preach in places all over. Why? Because I don't need nobody to know who I am. I don't need anybody to know me. Because God will whisper my ear in somebody's ear, and they will call me and say, man, why don't you come speak for us? Because I don't believe what I see. I believe what I see with my spirit. When I refuse to believe my spirit, I can't get what God has for me. He told Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Next verse. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls it or adds it. In other words, when we make agreements between ourselves, when men make covenants between themselves, if nothing comes and changes the covenant, we believe that what we said is what it means. We shake hands on a deal, then guess what? We believe you're going to hold your side, I'm going to hold my side. We expect that. That's what we expect on a human level. Next verse. Now, to Abraham and his seed were promises made. Tell your neighbor, say, promises were made to Abraham's seed and to Abraham. He does not say, and to seeds. Yeah, I need you to look close right here because it's going to mean something in a second. He does not say to seeds. In other words, he didn't pick 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Y'all are the righteous. Y'all my seeds. And y'all ain't. He doesn't say that. He said seed. Abraham's got one seed. One seed. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, who is
Christ.
Jesus is the one seed. Say, so, yeah, I believe Jesus is the seed of Abraham. Yeah, I believe Jesus is blessed. Yeah, I believe that about Jesus. Oh. Tell your neighbor, say, I think he's getting ready to drop a bomb. Galatians 3:27. Go down, skip down to verse 27. Verse 27 says, for as many of you, turn to your neighbor and say, of you. We're baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. How do you get baptized into Christ? We're not talking about water baptism. We're talking about actual, baptism means to be immersed. As many of us have been immersed in Christ, you put on Christ. When you get immersed, when you come in Christ, when you step into Christ, when you're in him, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. To be in him means that you have put on him. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, not black or white, not Asian, not Latino, not Oceanic. There's neither slave nor free. There's not workers and bosses and slaves and masters. There's neither male nor female. There's no special blessing on women. And there's no special blessing on men. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Next verse. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. See, I'm not the seed because I'm special. I'm the seed because I'm in Christ. Because I'm in him, I have the seed. I am the seed of Abraham, and I am heir to the promises of God. See, Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. What is that abundant life? It is that same life that God wanted to give us spiritually in Abraham. But spiritual things create natural things. Because in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it says, now faith is a substance of things you hope for, and it is the evidence of unseen things. For by faith, the world was formed by the word of God. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was there in the beginning with God. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. Nothing that's made has been made except by the Word of the Lord and by faith. So by faith, you need to receive the fact that you're the seed of Abraham. By faith, you need to receive the fact that you are blessed and not cursed. Yes. So what does a curse look like? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we're going to close with this. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 is where we're going to begin. If you don't have it, look up. Here we go. But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Now, really quickly, I want to make sure you process this. Remember, Jesus has already borne the curse. Amen? But this is what the curse looks like. Verse 16. Cursed you shall be in the city. And cursed you shall be in the country. In other words, cursing don't have no geographic location. There's a curse in East Oakland, and there's a curse in Orinda. There's a curse in Danville, and there's a curse in Hunters Point. There is a curse in North Dakota, and there is a curse in South Africa. There's a curse everywhere. Don't make any difference if you're in the city or in the country. The curse is on the earth. Next verse. Curse shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. In other words, curse is going to be your bank account and your money at your house. Next. Curse shall be the fruit of your body. Your kid's going to be cursed. And the produce of your land. Whatever you're producing is going to be cursed. And the increase of your cattle, when your stocks multiply, it's going to be cursed. And the offspring of your flocks, your possessions, your real estate, whatever you own, it's cursed already. It's got a curse on it. If we're not hearkening to the voice of the Lord, if we're still wearing those fleshly lenses, it's cursed. And if you want to know what the evidence and the manifestation of the curse is, it's called 2006 through 9. It's called the bubble, the crash, when stocks and real estate and everything had lost all its value. Why? Because we live under the curse, but sometimes our lenses make me think we're not. Oh, Jesus. Curse you shall be when you come in, and curse you shall be when you go out. Tell your neighbor, say, I've been redeemed from that. I'm not cursed when I go in, and I'm not cursed when I come out. I'm redeemed from that. Come on, next verse. Oh, that's it. Now, let's go back up. Let's go back. Yeah, let's go verse 1. What's the blessing look like? Because we've received the blessing. Amen? 28, verse 1. All right, we're going to be there in just a second. There we go. Crack team is on the case. That's right. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today. How many commands do you have? You got one. They had 10 plus the law. You got one. If you shall hearken to the voice of the Lord and obey his commands. You only got one. The one you follow fulfills all the ones they had. Yes. That's new lenses. That's a new lens. I'm not following the 10 commandments. I'm following the commandment of love, because if I walk in love, I'll obey the 10. Yes. If I walk in love, I won't kill you. If I walk in love, I won't covet what you got. I walk in love, I won't covet your wife. If I walk in love, I ain't gonna lie to you. If I walk in love, all that other stuff I'm trying to follow, if I walk in love, that has all been nullified. Yes. The conditions have been met. To observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today. I got one command. That the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of your earth. What did he tell Abraham? I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make you a great nation. Next verse. Woo. And these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Say, blessings are overtaking me. Yes, yes, yes. I see. Tell the neighbor, say, I see them overtaking me. Come on. I see blessings overtaking me. Because I'm not looking through old lenses. I'm looking through new lenses. My new lenses say blessings are overtaking me. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Come on, next verse. Blessed I am in the city. And blessed I am in the country. Say that's mine. Come on, next verse. Blessed shall be the fruit of my body. My kids are blessed. Say that's mine. Come on. The produce of your ground and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. My dollars are going to multiply. Amen. Come on. Say that's mine. Blessed shall be your basket. My bank account is blessed and multiplying. And my kneading bowl, the money under my mattress is going to multiply. That's mine. Say it. That's mine. Come on now. Verse 7. Come on. You don't need these lenses? You don't need my lenses? Because I see it. Do you need these? Come on. I hope y'all see what I see. Come on. Verse 7. Come on. Blessed I be when I go in and blessed I be when I come out. Going in and coming out, I'm blessed. Say that's mine. Come on. Next verse. The Lord will cause your enemies. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated. Where? Before your face. Say it. That's mine. They shall come out against you one way and they're going to flee seven ways. Say it. That's mine. Come on. The Lord will command the blessing. Oh, come on now. That should be driving y'all nuts right now. The Lord going to command the blessing on you. He shall command the blessing on you. But you got to see it. I told you about those 12 spies. They went out and they came back and said it was giants. This is what the word says. 10 came back and said they're giants. 2 said, we saw those giants, and our God is well able to take us into that land and give us exactly what he said he was going to give us. Why? They were wearing a different set of lenses. They saw giants going down. Everybody else saw giants killing them. And this is what happened. This is why you want to understand what I'm telling you. When the people heard the voice of the 10, the people cried all night long. They cried. They said, we're done. Moses led us out here for nothing. And now we're done. The people heard that it was true. Guess what? All of us, I said, I think all everybody in here believes the Bible's true. I believe, but don't let the enemy come and whisper to you that the giants are too big in your life, that the things around you are too big for you to overcome. You have to know this word is true. Change your glasses and read this word. Get in this thing and let this thing start speaking God's voice to you. You got to let God's voice be the voice you hear. The Lord will command the blessing. When I was in the Marine Corps, when my drill instructor gave a command, you did what you were told. There was no debate about it, question about it. DI, I got a question. And no, you ain't got no questions. The command has been given. You respond. When God commands blessing, If you're online with God, ain't nothing going to stop it. He'll command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. Whatever you put your hand on can and should be blessed. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving to you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Tell your neighbor, say, that's mine. All right. The blessing of Abraham is yours. I want you to understand that when we talk about abundant life, we're not just talking, but we're going to get it as we chop that old tree down. As we keep cutting away at that old tree, as we keep getting that carnal mind under subjection, as we keep chopping that thing down with no mercy, we keep cutting it down. And guess what? Sometimes Tammy might be the one to come cut something. Sometimes I may be the one cutting it. Sometimes the person sitting next to you may be the one cutting it. But you need to understand that if it's getting cut, you say, Lord, thank you for trimming. Thank you for pruning something off of me. Thank you for making me putting me in a better spot. Thank you for getting me out of my flesh stuff and starting to move me to the spirit so I can move and have my being in you so I can have the fullness of the kingdom operating in my life. Woo. Man. Woo! Hallelujah. Let's stand on your feet. Let's seal this. Let's seal this with some declaration.
Thanks for joining us today. That message was titled, I Have Been Given Abundant Life, Part 5. For more information about Abundant Life Worship Center or anything that we're doing, feel free to check out our website at www.alwc.us.